జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి హరశీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునామాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమా విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదానంద స్వామిని ఇది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశకారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసంధనామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయపత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయ జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమ. సర్వోవృషదోగావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్ససుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాజేంద్రదజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహిని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వథామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోత్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరిగద సంబోధనాభూతిదం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహర పేబీయమానం ముద భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘైరీగిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మావరుణీంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదై సంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదైర్ గాయంతి యం సమగాః ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాన్నం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. Krishna says to Arjuna that jnanam is jnanasyadu taval trividhatvam uchyade. It comes in three ways, knowledge comes in three ways in this world based on the three modes. So first he spoke about the satvika jnanam. సర్వూతేషు ఎనేకం భావం అవ్యయమీక్షదే అవిభక్తం విభక్తేషు తజ్ఞానం విద్ధి సాత్వికం. దట్ ఈస్ ది 20th వర్స్. యా వర్స్ 20. సో కృష్ణస్ పాయింట్ ఈస్ దట్ టు సీ వన్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్, ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ దట్ ఇఫ్ యూ క్యాన్. He gives the example here that avibhaktam vibhakteshu. What does that mean? It means that he is saying that tamcha bhavam avibhaktam pradideham vibhakteshu deha bhedeshu na vibhaktam tad atma vastu vyomavad nirandaram ityartaha. Means space is there, agasham, right? You cannot say there are two agashams. There's only one agasham everywhere. And we are looking at the agasham from different, through different eyes, isn't it? Different people, through their eyes, seeing agasham. But agasham is one. The people who are looking at it are many. He is saying that, in the same way, Atma is present in everyone, and we are looking at the body and thinking that they are separate. But if you look at the soul, like agasham, there is only one. This is the understanding. Yeah. So, so that's what he's saying. Avibhaktam pradideham vibhakteshu. In bodies, there are many different. It looks as though they are different. When you look through the body, you look that you think that there are so many souls in this world, right? Na vibhaktam tad alma vastu vyomavad nirandaram ityarthaha. Right? Atma vastu is one. It's just like space is there. We are all looking at the space. And individually we all see different. Their space is different because we are the instrument through which we are looking at is different. Therefore we think it is different. But actually it is not different. There is only one space. Everyone is looking at it from different through different eyes, right? In the same way, the soul is one, present everywhere, Antaryami. And we call it as Antaryami for various reasons, we call it Antaryami. But it is present everywhere and everything, and that's the only thing that exists, right? So, similarly, tat jnanam, seeing it like that, advaita alpa darshanam, satvikam, samyak darshanam vidhidi. That means this knowledge is sattvikam. Seeing this oneness in the truth. Seeing oneness in the truth, right? And if you, dvaita darshanani, if you are seeing many, asamyak bhudani, rajasani, tamasani cha, iti na sakshal samsaro chitaye bhavandi. If you look at things separately like that, if you are seeing that, if you are seeing it like that, then that's coming from Rajasam and Tamasam, and that will not destroy your material existence, samsara. Yeah. So, we were talking about it before also, that this Satya Jnanam, Satya Jnanam means seeing this oneness, in not breaking up. That is Satya, right? So, when you start seeing separately, it is Rajasam. The difference is that Rajasa Jnanam may look very productive. It may look very productive, right? But it will create problems later. You may think Rajasa Jnanam, knowledge through Rajasam, is more focused because you are breaking it up, everything, right? When you break it up, you think you are studying in depth, in detail, and it will create problems later when you go in that direction, yeah? Actually, Bhagavad Gita is like this. Krishna has said all these things, but in another chapter, in the 15th chapter, Krishna is talking about in a different way. A different way in that experience you have to get it, how Krishna is explaining things, right? And more if you hear, and more your thoughts develop around Bhagavad Gita, you'll start seeing Krishna's point, what Krishna is trying to get to us. Sometimes we won't understand the Krishna. Many times it is like that. You won't understand what Krishna is pointing at. That subtle side of that, yeah? We'll come to that later. So, because in our present state, due to our conditioning and our way of life,
and so separated from the knowledge part, Vedam, Vedic knowledge, that our mind works totally different way. Our intelligence works totally different way. Vivekananda said this in one instance about, he said, Krishna has no brain, he said. Krishna doesn't have brain. We have got, and he gave us this little brain to us, and he put us into trouble with this brain. In one of his lectures, he says that, yeah, that Krishna doesn't have any brain. He doesn't work based on a brain, like we work based on a brain. He doesn't work based on a brain. We have got this thing called a brain, and we are having problems with it. Because brain creates certain, everything does these things, like breaking up things, brings logic into it. Whereas transcendental knowledge is not subjected to brain. Brain has no entry there. It's above all these things. Remember that Krishna is saying that in the earlier chapters, that buddhi grahyam adindriyam, buddhi cannot capture this. This is the problem. And we have got this thing called buddhi with us. So when you say Krishna doesn't have a brain, it may look very odd, but he does not operate based on brain like the way we do. That's an important thing. Yeah. So therefore, because he doesn't based on brain, he works. His working is based on spirituality, spiritual awareness, bodham, consciousness, chaitanyam. That's what is working there, not brain. Brain is a small equipment given to every one of us to use it according to your capacity. And it has limitations. We have to recognize that. Brain has limitations. And if you depend on brain for everything, you are doomed in spiritual life. Nothing will work. So that's an underlying principle in all these things. You will understand that better when you study to 15th chapter, for example, Purushottama Yogam. When Krishna talks about that, he gives you many, many examples there to make us aware that how useless this brain is. We have put all our faith in this brain and the damage that it is causing to us in seeing the truth because of dependency on the brain. And that's what Krishna is saying here. Here also the same thing. With Rajasa Jnanam, this is the problem. Brain gets involved very heavily. And brain thinks that brain can handle everything. Brain can manage everything. And brain is the decision maker. So, and in that process, what happens is, you ignore about the effect on the world, what you are doing. You completely ignore that. You are not aware that the damage you do to others. Yeah, because your brain is working. And so, as I gave you that example, that you are working in a factory. This brain has created all these multinational corporations, right? Big, huge, huge industries everywhere. Industrial culture is coming from this brain. And we are not supposed to be living like that, based on some big, huge industrial complex and everyone running into that factory in the morning and whole day spending there and coming home and thinking that it is a livelihood and all that. This is not the Rishi's way of life. They are warning us on these things. So, Rajasam comes from that mindset, right? So when what happens with industry is this, that I work in industry and we are manufacturing something. I don't know what the people are doing with that machine, what we are manufacturing. It can be used for various purposes. And some of them may be good, some of them may be bad from our point of view, but overall it is doing bad. It creates destruction in the world. There's a lot of things like that. Pneumatics, hydraulics, all these are basic sciences in engineering. And from that came out many other things. Pneumatics, hydraulics, all these things, right? Electricity. Electricity is one power gives light, but the same electricity is used in all kinds of equipments, machines, and manufacturing, and all sorts of things. And this is all the product of the brain. Brain has created all this. Same thing with pneumatics, same thing with hydraulics. So, they have learned to generate power through various ways, through electricity, through hydraulics, through pneumatics. In this way, there are various things. So ultimately what happens is that I am not concerned about what you do. I am concerned about what my company is doing, what I am working for. And I don't know what they are doing with the end product, right? So that is not very good, because good in the sense that I am implicated. That's all it is. I am implicated. I am a part of that demoniac enterprise. And outwardly everything looks very, very beautiful. Big factory, so many cars running in the morning, parking there, going to the offices, working there. Everything looks normal. But the knowledge behind that is rajasam. That's the principle. This is what happens when we don't have knowledge, when we are not driven by authority, shastram, and by the rishis. Our mind can create all this kind of industrial enterprises, and it has destroyed everything. Now it is getting too difficult now to go back to the basics. So, so that is rajasa jnanam. This is all rajasa jnanam. This science, technology, this is all rajasa jnanam. It is not sattvikam. Right? First of all, they have no awareness even, these three things, sattvika, rajasa, tamasam. People who are doing these things, they don't even know that. Yeah. So, when you take into account the welfare of everybody, then it is sattvikam. When you take into account the welfare of yourself, and your family members and your few people who are working together in the industrial complex and all that, then it is rajasam. It is rajasam because you are not bothered about anything else. You can see how that in the history, if you look back. You know, a famous war happened in India after Buddha's time. It was a battle in Kalingam. Ashoka was involved. Ashoka was a famous king, as you know. So Ashoka fought the war and millions got killed in that war. So after the war, Ashoka woke up and then he joined Buddhism. He was a Buddhist later, King Ashoka. Like we say Akbar the Great, we used to say Ashoka the Great as well. In the history books, they put it all that, right? But by the time he became conscious of the after effect of the war, it was too late. The war is over and the destruction was very heavy, like every other war, right? And then it is after that they built this Ashoka pillar, the famous Ashoka pillar in Delhi, right? And they came to realize the consequences much later of the war, yeah? So it was in his mind, but inside, that this was not right, what was happening. But he fought the war. But by the time he became aware of that, it was too late. Many millions have been butchered, slaughtered already, right? If sattvika jnanam was there, it wouldn't have happened. But his knowledge was rajasam. And therefore, it is said there that it is this rajasam's danger. In the sense, outwardly it may give you an impression that everything is fine. But internally it can destroy a lot of things. A lot of people's life and a lot of damage it can do to the society. Rajasa jnanam. Rajasa jnanam will always end up in destruction. If that much if we understand, it's good. Sattvika jnanam will elevate a person. Krishna says all these things in the Bhagavatam also. And that is why about rajasam, he has warned very strongly. Tamasam is hopeless. You can't do anything with it. You have to give time from tam to come out of tamogunam. But rajasam is the one which destroys the world. World gets destroyed by rajasam. Yeah. So, ahami tanyadha buddhi pramatase yathakriti ulsarpadi rajo ghoram. Tato vaikarigam mana, Krishna says in the Hamsa Gita. Ulsarpadi rajo ghoram, tato vaikarigam mana. Because it makes a person emotional. and this rajogunam, rajoghoram here. So similarly, the damage what rajogunam can do cannot be done by anybody else. Rajogunam is like that, the nature of rajogunam. And therefore, the knowledge in rajogunam is rajasam, and that rajasam is also dangerous. Right? Then there is an tamogunam. How? Tamasam. So we saw those things last time. Pradaktenado yatyanam nana bhavan pradakvithan veti sarveshavodesho talyanam vidhi rajasam. What rajasam is? Then he said that everyone is different. Seeing everybody is different, right? And they are all different from me. In this way I see the world. In this way I am seeing the world. Everybody is different from me. And individual jivas living separately, right? And everywhere there is a jiva in every body. In this way, that knowledge is rajasam, he says. Pradaktvena, that bifurcation or segregation like this happens in rajasam. That unity goes away and seeing everything different, right? Pradaktvena bhedena prati shariram anyotena yal jnanam nana bhavan bhinnan atmana pradakvidhan prithak prakaran bhinna lakshanam ityartha veti vijanadiya jnanam sarveshu bhudeshu jnanasya kartrutval sambhavat yena jnanena veti ityartha tat jnanam vidhi rajasam rajonavurtham. So that's Ajari Swami's comment on that. Then let's look at what tamasam is now. He says yattu krishnavad ekesmin karya saktam ahaitugam adatvartavad alpam cha tal tamasam udahridam. Someone who has thinking that everything is body, they can only see the body, nothing else, right? That means forms are important for them in every form, yeah. And that applied in bhakti also. If you only see Krishna in the deity, that is tamasam. It is. But it is not called tamasam, it's called pranagridam. Because after all, it's a devotee, he's beginning spiritual life. But he is only seeing in the deity, Krishna is there in the deity. And that is tamasam. Yattu jnanam krishnavat samastavat sarvavishayam ekasmin karye dehe bihiva deham. Similarly, when you look at people, you will only see the body person, in the person. He sees body as a person. Nothing else, right? And nagna chama shramanaga dinam sharirana varti deha parimano jiva. For example, because in the form or deham or pratima, the vigraham, in all these things, everything is in there only. To think like that. That God is that, or Ishvara is that. Ishvara is not anywhere else, in that form only exist, right? And to think that the deities that have been made, whether it is wood or whether it is a stone, whatever it may be, yeah? To think that, that alone is the truth, is tamasam. Understand the problem with the tamasic knowledge, yeah? So, very materialistic knowledge. Very materialistic, right? And we're purely jadam. He only knows jada shakti. Jadam, you know what that jadam means? Dead matter. Knowledge based on dead matter. And he knows only one thing. This person in the tamogunam, right? And he will only do that, nothing else. That means he cannot come out of his box. He is boxed in that jadam knowledge. And he cannot think in any other way, differently, right? Whatever he is doing, he'll keep on doing that for the rest of the life. That's all his life is. He is fixated with that. Totally fixed in that. And he cannot change, and he cannot think either. That is tamasam. Bhagavatam also mentioned in the very beginning, in a different way. He says that when the fire falls, the spark, that when it comes out, when it is glowing, it is atiyam. When it falls, if it falls on a on a dry grass, that grass will burn if it falls on the dry grass. If it falls on the wet grass, it will not burn. Or if it falls on somewhere else, it could get completely extinguished. So again, to express these differences between Satvika, Rajasa, Tamasa. So this problem, Tamogunam, is like that. You cannot think anything else about it. You are doing something. Some people are like that. They will whole life, they'll do one job and they'll stay with that job for that. And they think that that's all I can do. I can't do anything else. And they don't want to hear about anything else. Just doing that same thing. You know, the people who make BDs and all that, cigarettes and all. It's like that. They manufacture cigarettes. Now it's made in the factory, but before that it was handmade a lot. So they will do only that, nothing else, right? They don't think that what they are doing is the cigarettes and all these things is creating problem for others. They can't think that. This is my job, I'm just doing it. And stuck in that state, right? Similarly, many things we manufacture in that way. It creates problem for others, but they don't think about that. So sometimes what happens, you know, these people who manufacture alcohol, breweries, right? There's big companies, isn't it? All over the world. In India also, there's lots of factories who manufacture alcohol now. It wasn't there before. But when it has become to factory, in the olden days, people didn't drink like the way they are drinking now, right? So there were people who were manufacturing illicit liquor. And it didn't affect the society so much, because it was not manufactured in a factory, first thing. It was manufactured in a very small scale by people who could not live without that. They made it and they sold it, and they all did in a very discreetly, without being noticed by others. They felt ashamed of doing that, right? Then they were making alcohol, if others came to know. All that thing has gone now from the society. Now people who are considered to be the top notches in the society, they are keeping alcohol at home. And as soon as it has come from Scotland, it has become acceptable. This is how it has changed. And now in all the so-called aristocratic families, so-called rich families, they all have alcohol at home, many of them. And it is acceptable now, socially acceptable it has become, right? And then they realize that there is money to be made in this. So breweries and manufacturing alcohol is why all over India now. I'm only talking about India, because the rest of the world has nothing to do, understand all these things. But in India, we are supposed to understand these things. There is people who are manufacturing alcohol in a big scale, and it has become acceptable, suddenly, because it's bottled nicely, put a nice, packaging, and sold. And it has become acceptable in the society, right? And then after making so much money, inside them they are thinking that what we are doing is not a very good thing. And then they give a lot of money to the ashrams and temples and all that. These lot who have made money in this way, right? And with that ashram is finished. With that ashram is over. They don't understand these things. They think that means actually you are sharing, the ashramam who is taking money from such people, you are actually accepting their sinful reactions with that money. You are taking it from them. They don't understand that. Yeah. So with that, ashram is over. That means by doing a good thing, you cannot destroy the bad things what you have done. This is a misunderstanding. People make money in the wrong means, and then they put the money for some good cause, what they think, like ashram, temples and all that. And they think that we have paid money for that, so all that sinful reaction won't touch us. That's their misunderstanding inside. Shastram says it is not like that. a good thing, don't contract with a bad thing, right? So, and if you tell them, then why don't you give it up? Why do we need this alcoholic finance in India? Why just cannot get it? People lived in that land for thousands of years without this. But now everywhere there is factories and factories and factories. Governments are depending on that. They're saying we are giving jobs to people. Is this the way to employ people? Manufacturing alcohol? And then they don't realize it, how many people's life is destroyed by that. If you introduce alcohol into the society in this way, in a big scale, then the people get habituated to that. And then what kind of spiritual life can you have after that, if this is happening, right? So, so what has happened now is that they want to inquire, think about these things. Without thinking, they jump into this kind of ventures. And Purvabharam, they don't think about it. And because they are fixated with that karma, and even though it is very negative, as far as society is concerned, they will stick to it. And that is tamasam. To understand tamasam, these manufacturers who are doing these things, alcohol business, this is one example. There are same thing with the meat processing plants also. Before factories came, people killed some lower animals and satisfied with that, those who wanted it badly. But then they realized that if you do it, process it in a factory and slaughter them in the big slaughterhouses and deliver them in the nicely packaged form to the supermarkets and all, it has become acceptable. This is how the society, this is all coming from that tamogunam inside. Unfortunately, people don't think, this knowledge has gone away from the society and they become victimized by that. Yeah. So in this way, one who is sticking to something like this, some livelihood, think alcohol or cigarettes, and these are examples, meat, all these things, right? And sticking to that, same thing with the gambling business also. When everything, what do they call it? They have another name for that, isn't it? Turf accountant, yeah. What a glorified name. What is this turf accountant? Because instead of saying that you are gambling there, they have introduced gambling in all fields now, in football, in cricket, in everything, there is gambling now. Everything is based on gambles now. Yeah, people, that tendency is growing in the same way. So these people who are running all these things, they don't have any knowledge of the tattvam behind it. Yeah, it is tamasam. And that is destruction, means destruction, right? Very limited way of thinking, right? And so people who are like that, they are tamasam, right? Knowledge is tamasam. So, yeah. They cannot move from that and come to some sattugunam and make a living in sattugunam, right? That means you do some karma and you get stuck in that, not able to come out of that, right? So, for example, simple examples are like this, that karmam, cooking for example, in the kitchen, yeah. When you are cooking with a good consciousness, somebody is cooking in good consciousness, right? The thinking is that everyone can have that prasadam, right? And the feeling that others are going to eat it, and their hunger gets destroyed, they become free from hunger. And you know the results of your cooking. If you cook nicely, nice prasadam, and given to a few people who are hungry, and if they are eating that, the satisfaction that comes from that. So, that means you know the result of that, is it not? And which means that when you do the karma, you can do it in a satyam way. Because you know the effort, the result of your effort is going in the right way. So able to think like that, that I am doing a karma which will help others and which is making people happy because they get their hunger destroyed by the food. And if it is cooked with that concept, right, we can eat ourselves and you can eat others also in the same way. They will also eat to their satisfaction, right? And do you know the results? That means the karma is understood properly. That you are doing the karma with the proper knowledge. Not like the way tamasam people are doing. Tamasam people does not really think about all these things. Just do it. And then something is pricking them inside that they have done something wrong. Obviously, after all, Antaryami is inside and gives them something. People will tell them also sometimes that why do you need all these huge factories manufacturing? And you can see their life ends up also in misery. Lot of them. Very miserably they ends up. That they run away with their wealth and, that tamogunam inside is basically has controlled them in their life to such an extent. That means their knowledge is tamasam, basically. That's what Krishna is saying here, right? Then I gave you that example that a man worked in a Ford Motor Company and they were manufacturing cars and he was only a security man. And the security man saw every day thousands of people coming in and then he also saw the cars were rolling out from the factory. So he understood that this is what they are doing in the factory because he doesn't know anything about the technology side of it, what car manufacturing is. But he observed this, that these people are working together and they make cars. Because cars were coming out from the factory. So he took it like that, right? Then he lost his job in the company. He went and got a job in an IT office. Thousands of people working there also in IT. But he didn't see any cars coming out from the company. He could not understand what these people are doing. They're all going inside in the morning and they're coming out in the evening. And what they are doing, he didn't understand. He did not understand anything. They're all sitting there in front of a computer and doing this all day. What are they doing? He has no idea. Right? So he became very curious to find out. At least there the cars were coming out. Here nothing is coming out from this factory. So everybody is going in and coming out in the evening. So what exactly are they doing? So he was curious to find out that. So he became friendly with someone in the factory, in the IT factory. And he was talking to him. He says, what exactly do you do inside? Because I used to work in a car factory before. And the car factory used to produce cars and it was coming out. Every evening trucks were coming and loading these cars and going out. But here I don't see anything coming out. So you are all going in and you are all coming out in the evening. What exactly do you do there? So when he got asked this question to someone, that man says to him, that's a good question. I had never thought about it, he says. I didn't think about it, what I'm doing. That's how people are. People are like that. You are only concerned about your job, your profession, your money, and not concerned about anything else. What exactly you are doing, right? That is Rajasam and Tamasam. That's Rajasam and Tamasam it is. That you are doing things in this world, but all you are worried about is you are getting the money. You got a job, I got a salary, and I'm living. What more matters to me? What others are doing is their business. This way of looking at life, that's tamasam. But today, if you say all these things, it won't have any effect on people because we are caught up in this way of life now. It's so hard to change it now. It's so difficult to change. But the knowledge is knowledge, and that's not going to change. Bhagavad Gita is Bhagavad Gita. It holds good then, and it holds good now, and it will hold good forever. Krishna says, Satyam Rajasam Tamasam. And this is the reason why I find it difficult to take to spiritual life also. And even when you take to spiritual life, difficult to understand how we should change our life to come to this understanding, right? So, similarly, another example, you pour water to a plant. And when the plant grows up and it gives flowers, fruits and all that, you feel the karma was good. So that means when you are pouring the water for the plant, you are conscious of the results from that, right? Similarly, when you bring up children, you see the same happiness, that they are growing up, they are developing some Krishna consciousness in some way, and there is some satisfaction in that. So things like that is different, right? So that means you are able to see the results and you are able to feel happy from the results, from the karma. That is satya. When you do a karma, you are conscious of what the results are coming from that, whereas in rajasam, tamasam, you don't know what the results are even, because it's happening somewhere else. In rishis, never approved doing things in a big way, because they know if you put a lot of people in ignorance together, what that will come out from that will be demoniac. They were aware of that. So the Vedic knowledge is, or Vedic system is, not to do anything in a big scale. Always to keep it as small as possible. Because otherwise individual will suffer. These kind of problems will come. If the results are good, and if you are able to feel happy with the results for what you have done, proper happiness, not like the alcohol business. You feel depressed after doing all that things, except that the factory is running, a lot of people are coming. People come, they will come to, thousands of people are working in this industry now, alcohol industry. And now we have signed a trade agreement whereby the biggest export is Scotch whiskey. India needs Scotch whiskey very badly. So this is how life is today. So tamasam means you won't know. Trade agreement is fine, but do they need all this? This is not taken into account, because it's a trade agreement, and we have such a big demand there for this. So this is what are we heading for? Where are we heading for? Imagine that, right? And that is what Krishna is saying here. Tattamasam udahridam. You see, in one word Krishna has put that. Tattamasam udahridam, he says. And so, and tattamasam udahridam. Atatvartavad alpamcha tattamasam udahridam. That is the word Krishna has used, right? So, here, Adhari Swamiji says there that that ahaitukam hetuvarjitam nuriyuttikam atatvartavad yadhabhutam atartasa anya heyabhutam asti iti tattvartavad. Means, as far as he is concerned, whatever happens, he thinks that his action is not causing any, he is not giving trouble to anybody. That's how he thinks, this one who is in tamogunam, right? And because he is not conscious of all other things, right? And he does not have the knowledge to analyze things in the proper way, his knowledge is limited to only few things. This is tamogunam, tamasam. It is like that. He is thinking only in terms of his limited environment, what he is operating, say alcohol factory or meat factory or whatever it is. He is only thinking that as long as that factory is working, I am getting my salary from that, I am making good, proper living, and I pay my taxes, so I should be okay. That's the way he is. He does not have that capacity to think higher than that, on a higher level, right? And that means practically no discrimination inside. Tamasa jnanam it is. And so that is all what Krishna has spoken about there, right? So, nobody thinks about all these things in present world. Nobody thinks about all these things, right? This industrial development, economic development, sense gratification, it has totally destroyed everything, even these primary things in life. These are primary things in life to know. Even that's gone from the society. Yeah. So that's what it is, yeah. So in Bhagavad Gita, there is two kinds of, two mainly topics discussed. One level you can say jnanam and karmam. And some people have found bhakti also in Bhagavad Gita as a topic to be. But going by that four chapters, jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam, pravritti nivritti, and it is on that basis, basic structure of Bhagavad Gita is. Yeah. So, the one is pravritti lakshanam, and the other one is nivritti lakshanam. So, and through Prajapati's, Krishna instituted pravritti lakshanam. To Kumaras, through Kumaras, he instituted nivritti lakshanam. Right? So, Prajapatis were created so that the Marisi, Atri, Angiras, Pulasti, Pulahakradu, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Daksha, they are all Prajapatis, right? All these Prajapatis were, their occupation was, they were into pravritti lakshanam dharmam, grahaya masa vedoktam. Like the way, but both pravritti and nivritti were executed based on Vedam. Authority of Vedam was not questioned. Both Prajapatis and the Kumaras. Yeah. Then Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanadana, Santkumara, they are nivritti lakshanam dharmam, and they were not interested in karma. Jnana vairagya lakshanam. Grahaya masa. So, nivritti dharmam they accepted, and pravritti dharmam Prajapatis accepted. So, here, bhakti is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita all through the way, from beginning to end, it is bhakti. But specifically, discussion is centered around jnanam and karma. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Karmam is for the pravritti margam, jnanam is for the nivritti margam. So, it is on that basis Vedam was based on that basis. And Ekadasa Skandam, Krishna says this in the 19th chapter. Tasmal yanena sahidam, 5th verse, 11.19.5. Tasmal yanena sahidam, nyatva swadmana mudhava, jnana vijnana sampanno bhajamam bhakti bhavida. Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, right? He is saying to Uddhava that when he spoke varnashrama dharma, after that he says, I have spoken to you about ashrama dharmam, and similarly knowledge, liberation, bondage, everything. But when you come to a stage in life, in spiritual life, where you have started, aparoksha jnanam comes to you. At that time, what will happen? He's saying here, right? Importance of bhakti. For in that stage, right? So, jnatva jnanena sahidam bhajamam bhakti bhavida. That is Krishna's words to Uddhava. Yeah. What is that bhakti Krishna is talking about? For jnani, what kind of bhakti will he have, right? that means, what he has realized inside, as Antaryami, as his very self, right? He has known Antaryami as his own self, right? And seeing that in him, within himself, Antaryami as his very self, and seeing that, that Antaryami is present in everyone as the self. And that is bhakti. This is Parabhakti. What it's called is Parabhakti means, you can connect with that the other word, Sarvabodeshaya Pashyet Bhagavad Bhav. The same thing. Krishna is saying in another way, it is saying there. So, Bhakti means that he has come to this understanding that Krishna is inside us, Antaryami. That Antaryami is my identity. I am not this body. I have become free from the bodily identity and I am in total understanding that the Antaryami is my actual identity. That means the mind has gone. Mind is dissolved. Mind is not working anymore. So you started realizing your spiritual identity as the Antaryami. And then after experiencing that, then realizing that it is that same Antaryami present in everyone else as their identity, spiritual identity. That's also not different from this one, it is inside us, right? And that is bhakti. And that bhakti is only possible for a self-realized soul. That bhakti is only possible for this bhakti. Sadhana bhakti everybody can do. Everyone can do. What we are doing is all sadhana bhakti. But after self-realization, when this happens, it is spoken as bhakti, parabhakti, but it only happens in a jnani or someone who has realized his self. So you can understand how high that is. Is it not? And this is exactly what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita also. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, na shochati, na kamshati, samasarveshu bhuteshu, mad bhaktim lebhate param, he says. Parabhakti is talking about. In Bhagavad Gita, what is spoken is all parabhakti. Same thing in the Bhagavatam also. Mad bhaktim lebhate param, he says. When aham brahmasmi realization comes first. First you have to get aham brahmasmi realization. And after that, you are realizing that aham brahmam is present in everyone else. And when that realization comes, aham brahmasmi, and then tattvamasi comes later, I am that. You are the same one as made. You are made of the same material, what I am made of. In other words, it's all Chaitanya, pure consciousness, when that realization comes, right? So, this prakrita bhakti, that means this bhakti, what we are doing, sadhana bhakti and all that, for the jnani, for a self-realized soul, it's not possible for him to do that. The prakrita bhakti, what we are executing, it's not possible for a self-realized soul to do that, right? So, prakrita bhakti is, in the sadhana stage, it is like a decoration. That's our present state. Our bhakti at the moment, it's just a decoration for our life. That at least you are doing something which is acceptable, which is not wrong, but at the same time you haven't reached anywhere near the state of realization for proper bhakti. But Bhagavatam will say this, that, right? If you dig inside a person a little deeper, right? If you are able to see the presence of Krishna in everyone, in all living entities, right? And if you have bhakti towards that Antaryami like that, which calls it as Ahaituki bhakti. And that is what Bhagavatam will refer to. That means sadhana bhakti is very external thing it is. Internally it is not doing much. It's all external, right? You can see years and years we will be chanting the holy name or we'll be doing so many activities, what you think is bhakti, and you keep on doing that sadhana bhakti year after year after year. And then if you, at the end of life, if you look back and think, how much have I progressed really in the spiritual life? You don't have much to show result-wise, isn't it? Because you feel a bit of a depressed state comes like that. And sometimes you leave everything and you say, let me go and sleep comfortably. Why? Do something. And it comes to that stage, right? But proper bhakti is not like that. This is the sadhana bhakti stage, right? So, Bhagavatam, that's why he said, Bhagavatam in the beginning itself says, Ahai Tugi Apratihada Yenal Mahasam Prasidari. Bhagavatam put that word in the second chapter of the first canto itself. For this reason, yeah. Savaivamsam Bharavadharmam Yato Bhakti Rathokshache Ahai Tugi Apratihada Yenal Mahasam Prasidari. Why did he say that? For this reason only. Then just keep doing some things, sadhana bhakti, for life and not getting anywhere at the end. But that it should be ahaitugi. And it's such a person who has come like that, is Bhagavatam talking about Atmarama. Atmarama-shamaniyo nagrandhavirukrami kurvandi ahaitugim bhaktim itam bodhaguna hai. So Bhagavatam's bhakti, Bhagavatam talking about quite different from our sadhana bhakti, what we are practicing. Sadhana bhakti is like a decoration for us. That at least you can say, I'm a devotee, I'm doing some bhakti sadhana. But it is going very slow. It will help, no doubt. It will help. At least you're not doing anything wrong otherwise, at that time when you're doing the sadhana. Otherwise the mind is such a thing, can take you into so many other wrong situations, right? So we saw in the Upanishads also that this realization is bhakti. Inside me, as Antaryami, and in everyone else, as the Antaryami is one, and that is our spiritual realization, nature, right? So, we talked about this, the two verses in the Ishopanishad. Yastu sarvani bhudhani, that sixth and seventh verse. Yastu sarvani bhudhani, atmayabhud vijanata, tatra ko moha, ka shokaha, ekatvam anupashyati. Yastu sarvani bhudani atmanyevani pashyati sarvabhudeshu chalpanam tatona vichugupsade. These two verses, right? Two verses out of the 18. Ishopanishad is talking about this bhakti. Seeing presence of Krishna within and Krishna's presence in everyone else. So, so this understanding he mentions like that, yeah. Similarly, the knowledge also. A man in this realization, he will not see other people separately from him. And therefore, nobody is enemy, nobody is friend, right? And that there is no speciality with anybody. And that Krishna mentions that as Satvika Jnanam, knowledge in the mode of goodness, right? So, in that 20th verse, you can see there that the verse 20, sarva bhuteshu yeneikam, right? That means in all living entities, he is seeing the one soul, and he is aware, he knows the differences between people, but he knows the differences in the subtle body. Gross body, of course, it's visible. But differences in a person is differences in the subtle body. And he is also consciousness, is also conscious of that one thing that is present in everyone as awareness, bodha, which is Antaryami, right? And this is what Bhagavatam is saying, Ittham Buddha Guno Hari. Buddha Guno Hari. Atmaramashamaneyo Nagrandha Virikrame Kurvandi Ahaitukim Bhaktim Ittham Buddha Guno Hari. Buddha Guno Hari means that, right? That means he has understood Hari now. He has understood Hari. What Hari is present in everyone, right? And in the Prahlada story, you will find there also that the 7th canto, you will see a verse there. Prahlad talking about this, yeah? Prahlad is saying, Hari Sarveshu Bhudeshu. 7732. Hari Sarveshu Bhudeshu. Bhagavan Asa Ishvara. Idi Bhudani Manasa. Kame Sev Sadhu Manayel. That verse, yeah? In every living entity, Krishna is present in them as their self. First thing, right? What does Krishna means? Krishna means that one who is dear to everybody, from whom we have come, and he is the dearest of all, right? So, able to think like that, yeah? And this is what Sri Narada Maharshi is saying there, the secret of dharma. If you look at that verse, Hari Sarveshu Bhudeshu is saying, Hari Sarveshu Bhudeshu. Bhagavan. Bhagavan Asta Ishvara. Idi Bhudani Kama Isthair. Idi Bhudani Manasa. Kama Isthair Sadhu Manayel. And then, verse before that, Shraddhaya tal kathayam cha kirtaner gunakarmanam tal padamburaha dhyana tal linge acharhanadibhi. So, Shraddhayam tal kathayam cha kirtaner gunakarmanam tal padamburaha dhyana tal linge acharhanadibhi. So, this verse 32, what Krishna is saying, Narada Maharshi is saying there, it has to come from verse 31, by following verse 31. Shraddha, bhakti, and katha, shravanam, kirtanam, gunam, karmanam, and dhyanam. All that leads to this, verse 32, right? So, a person, if you look there, that the if you look in the same chapter further down in the 53rd verse, 53, Tato Harau Bhagavadi Bhaktin Kurita Danava Alpavamena Sarvatra Sarva Bhudatman Ishwari. He says there, isn't it? Tato Harau Bhagavadi Bhaktim Kurita Danava Alpavamena Sarvatra Sarva Bhudatman Ishwari. So, what he is saying is that if I get a thorn in my feet, while walking on the street, yeah? If I get hurt, then I will know what pain means. Somebody else's pain. If I get pain and I get feel the pain, right? Then only I will know how it will be for others when they get hurt, right? But by saying that, I won't know it. But when I get hurt, I will know how others feel when they get hurt, right? Similarly, if I experience poverty in life, only then I will know what poverty means in life. Right? Similarly, everything to think like that, to know others' difficulties in life, what they are going through, only when you get to realize that, that is what he is saying here. Yeah? That, and, so, Jnani is a situation, it's like this, right? That if you look into the 10th canto, And here he mentions, look at the 14th verse in the 10th chapter, 10:10-14. There he will say, Yatha Kandaka Vidhango, Jandor Ne Charita Vyatham, Jiva Samyam Gado Linger, Na Tatha Vidha Kandaka. That verse, yes? Yatha Kandaka Vidhango, Jandor Ne Charita Vyatham, Jiva Samyam Gado Linger, Na Tatha Vidha Kandaka. So, Jnani is a situation that is like that. Jnani is conscious of others suffering. Right now, for us, our problem is we are only conscious of our problems. We are not conscious of other problems. Even somebody tells us, we just think, what can I do? That's your prarabdham, and we leave it like that. Yeah. So not able to be conscious of others' problems. Yeah. But when one comes to that state of realization, then it is called bhakti. Sometimes people say, I don't want the jnanam, bhakti is sufficient for me. People say like that, isn't it? Actually, there is no answer to that question, because if you develop bhakti, that is fine. Yeah, Vedavyasa Maharshi is also saying the same thing. Doesn't matter, right? At least you have somewhere some connection through bhakti. You can say, you are saying that I don't want the jnanam. I'm just happy with bhakti, right? So, if you get some attachment or love at somewhere like that, right? It is basically, it is pragrada bhakti. Developing some bhakti in a particular form and get attached to that. And many people are like that. You can observe that. That's all they want in life. They don't want anything. Understanding of bhakti is limited in that way. So, pragrada bhakti is a training place, basically. It is not, do not misunderstand, it is not rejected. It is start somewhere. You have to start somewhere in bhakti, right? So, pragrada bhakti is that you got attached to some temple, some deities, or some guru, or some godbrother, something like that. Somewhere you have some attachment to start with, right? So that is pragrada bhakti it is. It has not gone far, very far, very beginning stage. Lot of people say, I'm attached to this temple, I'm attached to that temple. That means that's all their attachment is, nowhere else. It has not developed very much, in the very early stages, yeah. So, but that is pragrada bhakti, means there is only love, attachment somewhere, in one place, right? And that is why it is like sort of a training place in the beginning, right? Disciplining the mind somewhere. It starts somewhere, something. At least it's good that somewhere there is some attachment and something you have started in life. Majority of the people don't have that even. So, that is why Krishna mentions that in that second chapter, in the 11th canto, when Navayogis were talking about it, he mentions that Navayogis were saying this. I think it was Hari Maharshi who was saying that. Hari said that Archayam eva Haraye Pujamya Shradhaye Hate Nadal Bhakteshu Janyeshu Sabhakta Pragrada Smrada. That it's very explicitly spoken. Only attached to the deity, only attached to the temple, only serious about the puja there, but not much interested about other devotees, what they are doing, that's their business. Nadal Bhakteshu Janyeshu Sabhakta Pragrada Smrada. Is Pragradam he is. He doesn't have any interest in somebody else, what they are doing. Only attached to that deity in that temple. And I am doing seva there. And you are stuck in that. And some people are like that for years and years, will go like that. It never changes. No higher understanding comes to them. So, Prakrita, you can see Prakrita Bhakti, Madhyama Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti. Uttama Bhakti, to come from Prakrita Bhakti to Uttama Bhakti, it does take a lot of time. It's a long haul. And first he has to come to Madhyama Bhakti. Then he has to come to Uttama Bhakti. What they call it as Bhagavadottama. Bhagavadottama is a very higher stage, right? So, Prakrita means basically natural way. Natural, right? Not lower, it's natural. That's how it starts. Bhakti starts like that. We'll go to one temple, we'll see the deity, and then we'll go regularly to that temple and that deity and nothing else. I want to know what goes on in other, what you are doing, it's none of my business. That kind of thing. Totally indifferent to everybody else and only concerned about himself, right? It does not mean lower. It means not refined, right? Natural way, right? So, when that becomes pure, or when it becomes sattvigam, then it becomes bhakti, proper bhakti. That stage, Prakrita Bhakti, it's not actually bhakti. It's only some attachment you have developed somewhere, to some form. And in a very surface, on the very surface, right? We'll go and look at the deity and we ourselves thinking, is this God? One sannyasi said this. He said he joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement and then he was at that time, very beginning, right? 66 or something like that. He said that he was told they got some deities from the shop in San Francisco and they had these deities at the they had a hired apartment where they were keeping these deities. And he was told that you do with the pujari, you're a pujari from tomorrow. He was told. And he started doing pujari service there, right? And he said that one day he was thinking, he said, this is God? Looking at the deity, he was thinking. So you can see how difficult it is to get that clear inside, right? So he was, after some time he got bored, he says. It's not making any sense. You know, he was young, 18, 19 years old man. And he was doing this deity worship because he was told to do so. So he did that. And then one day he looked at the deity and he started thinking, is this God? I can't understand this, he said. So he told this to others, his GBC or whoever it is. He said, all right, you go on book distribution now. Don't worry about that. So you were shifted. That's how he said, I came to book distribution. Like that. So you can understand how people have difficulty in all these things in spiritual life when they come, right? So, so once you come a little bit higher than that, and then you started taking some interest in the Shastra. At that point, there was not much interest in the Shastram or anything. At that stage, right? He was only guided by others. Others told him because organization, what is organization? They want to find people to do the particular job to be done. For them, job is to be done. So whomever can fit in there, they will put them in. They are not bothered whether you are understanding what you are doing or not. That's, they will say to you, oh, you will understand all later. And it's all right. That is, this is all symptoms of Prakrita Bhakti, right? Prakrita stage is like that. You are only accepting instructions from others and just following them. That's Prakrita Bhakti. Completely guided by others and you haven't got anything gone in properly, that stage is Prakrita Bhakti. Madhyama Bhakti means that you have started thinking about it. Is this what I am doing? Is all proper, or is that all what it is? Just have to keep doing this whole life, and when is it going to happen? And thinking like that, and then turning your attention to Shastra, and started reading Shastra, and thinking about it, and in the same way Shravanam. All this when happens, it is coming to Madhyamam stage. It's coming to Madhyamam stage. Means that you are hearing Bhagavad Gita, you are listening to Bhagavadam, you are listening to Bhagavad Gita, right? Normally, people who go to temple, they won't sit for classes or hearing Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, right? And you can see that Prakritam nature in them. Thousands may come, but they have no interest in knowing things. They just come, see the deity, put some money in the hundi and then offer obeisances and they will go. That is Prakritam. Madhyamam means you have come a little bit more higher than that. Shravanam has become important for you and you are taking some benefit from the Shravanam and Bhagavad Gita Bhagavadam is making some sense to you and you have developed faith in the Shastra. These are all symptoms of Madhyama Bhakti. Symptoms of Madhyama Bhakti, right? And even this you can see in Saptaham and all that. Important things are discussed in the morning, even in Saptaham also. Morning hours, because the speakers also find it easier to talk about it in the morning. But nobody will come at that time. All chairs are empty. By about 11, 11.30, you will see from all parts of the world people are walking into the temple because it's prasadam time. There's a midday meal, they'll come, they'll take prasadam, that's fine, there's nothing wrong. At least they are taking prasadam, they're coming to the temple. It has come to that level now, that's what I'm saying. It has come to that stage, the society, that they have no, in the past they will not do such a thing. They'll come for saptaham, listen from morning to evening, and by 2 o'clock, after the midday prasadam was over, the all seats are empty again. Then the speaker is continuously lost because lunchtime they'll come and they'll sit there for half an hour and then have a nice prasadam and they'll go home. After that they won't even come inside, right? And if there is no proper prasadam, they won't even come. So this prasadam in such a big scale started only for them to come, people to come for that purpose. Actually, Bhagavata Saptaham is a jnana yajnam, it is. To give knowledge to people, spiritual knowledge, it's for that purpose. But jnana yajnam becomes like this, more like a prasada yajnam. It becomes, right? So sometimes people react who come like that in such situations, right? They will say, why don't you start early this prasadam? Why delay it so much? 1 o'clock, why not we start by 11 o'clock so that you can finish by about 2 or 3. They may not have capacity to feed so many people at the same time, right? And some people will find out what is the payasam today, what's the sweet today, and they will, without any shame, they will inquire all these things. And then they will decide whether to sit or not. People are like that. That's the nature of this world, right? So, you can see Bhagavatam, you can speak as long as you want, right? But there are people like this also in this world. So, what they are saying that if you keep on, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam keep on talking, and their mind is not connecting with it, right? They are saying that this whole prasadam will get cold. Why don't you serve straight away? And then after that you can talk whatever you want to talk. In other words, taste has not developed for Shastra. So that means they are still in the Prakritam stage. This is where it's coming from. If you have developed some taste for hearing, some taste for Shastram, naturally that will be the priority in life. Yeah, you want to understand things better. And so you started realizing that there is such a lot of knowledge involved in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, right? So, but somehow or the other, some taste, interest in something happens, like in the Prakritam stage, right? And that is, it is after that, then the initiation happens. Initiation happens after this, right? And then little bit of Shraddha will come through initiations. Somehow or the other, get the man interested in the Shastram. For that, you have to give them this initiation. It will come with prasadam first, and then an initiation, and then he may find some, he may start looking, taking a book and start opening it. Otherwise, most of the people have no interest in reading the book, thinking about it, because they are so disconnected from that, right? So bhakti is germination, it's growth, and all these things are very slow. It takes a long time, right? So, therefore, sadhana, if you observe devotees, how it all happens, how they start sadhana, doing sadhana. And so, so when Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, adhyalpa jnana nityato, tattva jnana artha darshanam, he says there, earlier, right? What does that mean? Adhyalpa jnana nityato means that on a daily basis, studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and either in satsangam or at home, reading it and reflecting on that, and knowing that, what is spiritual life properly? Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam. And what else? Tattva jnanartha darshanam. Conscious of tattva jnanam. This is on a higher level, obviously. It's not on the lowest level. Lowest level is like this. Prasadam, deity, and then going home. That's the lowest level. Prakrita bhakti. If you have gone up further from that, then adhyalpa jnana nityatvam. Tattva jnana artha darshanam. This will be there. Edal jnanam iti proktam ajnanam tadananyatha. Krishna is saying that. Yeah. So acceptance of Krishna's authority and Krishna's instructions in life and abiding by that. That is madhyama. That is madhyama bhakti. Right? And then after that is the madhyamam level, you will stay for a very long time. Like a lot of time people stay in the Prakritam stage. Similarly, in Madhyamam stage also, you will stay for a very, very long time. And then when it becomes ya sarveshu bhuteshu, in this Krishna is saying, sarva bhuteshu, sarveshu bhuteshu, enegam bhavam avyayam ikshate. Right? In other words, in all living entities, without difference, seeing that one truth, awareness present in everyone, and friendship to everybody, sarvapriyam, right? and ananya bhava, that someone else is not different from me. That is only a form what you are seeing, but inside that, Krishna is present. This realization and that equal vision in everyone, when that happens, he has come to the highest stage, Uttama Bhakti, right? And that Uttama Bhakti comes from Satyagya Jnanam. So Uttama Bhakti, Satyagya Jnanam is connected. Uttama Bhakti and Satyagya Jnanam, they are connected each other. Satyagya Jnanam is there. That person will be in that Uttama Bhakti stage. So, so that knowledge is Satyagam. And that Satyagam knowledge is called Bhakti. That Satvik knowledge is called Bhakti, right? And that knowledge manifests first in within oneself. This knowledge manifests within oneself. In Bhagavad Gita, sometimes you may have this difficulty. The message is one, but spoken in different terminologies. Now, here Krishna said Satyagya Jnanam, but actually it is Bhakti. If you have Satyagya Jnanam, you are bound to have Bhakti, if the knowledge is Satyagam. That's how they are connected to each other. Right? So, if Satya Jnanam is inside, you are bound to have Bhakti. Yeah. So, and it will manifest within oneself. And when it manifests within oneself, it is called Jnanam. It is called Jnanam. And when it starts going through our senses, the mind, senses, and when it starts seeing other living entities. And start taking into account them, others also, in our life.
recognizing their importance of other living entities. Because they are also Krishna's manifestation, isn't it? Like we are, they are also Krishna's manifestations, right? When it comes to that, that is bhakti in an advanced stage, right? So what is happening there is, by then, your buddhi, mind and all these things, it has become bhakti by now, right? When it is only within yourself, chinmatram it's called. It is called jnanam, right? When it is staying within you, right? That means when it is only within you, it has not gone outwardly to others, then it is jnanam. But when you start seeing outside, others not separately from you, then then at that time, able to see that it is you who is present in them, and they are present in you, and they are not different. It's one and the same thing. And that stage is vijnanam. That stage is vijnanam. So that means your jnanam has totally become realizations. Aparoksha jnanam has come to you, right? Atmaneva, and all that is spoken here also. Then Atmaneva, Atmanam, Atmanam, Pashyan Atmani Tushyati. Seeing oneself within himself as he exists, right? And satisfied within that, within oneself, with that realization. Then Nirvikalpa Samadhi, what they refer to is, Vikalpa means a second thing exists separately from you. Yeah. When Nirvikalpa means there is no second thing existing, obviously you can understand at this time you are free from the bodily identity. You come to the purely spiritual platform. You are realizing that Krishna is inside and that is your identity. But at that time you have not come to the Nirvikalpam stage. Nirvikalpam stage is when you start realizing that nobody exists outside. Actually, names and forms exist. But vastu inside is the same vastu inside me, in everyone else. That is Nirvikalpam, right? So, at that stage, your consciousness or awareness, bodham, is pure, is very pure. And there is no dvaitam there, at that stage. No dvaitam. Nothing else exists, right? You are completely free from dvaitam. And what else? All vasanas have gone. Both vasanas have gone away, dvaitam has gone away at that stage. Right? And you exist in that stage. And they gave this example that like in the space, sometimes there is dust and darkness, clouds, everything. But all that has gone away, clear sky, clear space. You come to that. That is from Suresh Acharya says this, right? So, what he is saying is that the dust has gone away, the darkness has gone away, clouds have gone away. These are all, they are using the example to explain to us that state of consciousness. There is no dust, there is no clouds, and there is no darkness, right? He says, Nirmukta Gaganopamam. It's like a pure, clear sky. Pure and clear sky, right? And that is the Nirvikalpam state, right? That Nirvikalpam state is the actual Chaitanyam, our Swarupam. So when Shukha Brahmarshi says that, Muktihi Tanyadharupam Swarupena Vyavasthiti, he is referring to this state. Nirvikalpasthiti. Right? And when that is realized only within oneself, it is jnanam, right? And with that knowledge inside, when you are doing transactions in this world, vavaharam in this world, and with full awareness that others are also of the same what I am made of, right?
and in Vyavaharam also you are able to conduct with that awareness, right? Then it is in the Vijnanam stage, right? Bhakti, right? So that bhakti in that state is Satyam. Satyam. So you know why Krishna has said this. He made knowledge in terms of three. Satya, Rajasa, Tamasam. But the idea behind that is, in another way he is expressing that, how bhakti will be in these three states of knowledge, right? So, at that point, in that Satya Jnanam is there, you do not have any hate towards anyone, and you don't get disturbed by anything, right? And you don't disturb anybody either, right? All these are symptoms of that. You don't disturb anybody, you don't get disturbed, and you also don't have any hate. Ragadvesham, all has gone, right? And that is what Krishna is saying about bhakti in the Bhakti Yogam chapter. Advesha sarvabhodayanam maitra karuna yavacha nirmamo nirahangaya suga dukha samakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yad alma drada nishaya mayarpita manobuddhyam yomal bhakta samay priya. Right? So you can see the connection between here, he spoke about jnanam, satvya jnanam, and the nature of the bhakti, which if you go into Bhakti Yogam and look, if you look at the qualities, these are the things that rules everything. Right? So, he has good control of senses, good control of the mind, dhrada nishayam, very firm and very very determined in spiritual life, right? And his realization is with a permanent and clear goal in his head, what he wants, right? So, in other words, mind, intelligence and all is not interfering anymore. He has gone beyond in that. And they are all fully established in the soul. Mind and intelligence are under control of the soul. So, mind and intelligence won't act independently, like in the beginning stages, right? And Krishna said, Yomal Bhakta Samay Priya. Such a devotee is dear to me, Krishna says, right? So, it is referring to such people, Krishna is saying that Krishna will go with them everywhere to protect them. Niravaksham Munim Shandam, Nurvairam Samadarshinam, Anubrajami Aham Nityam, Yoye Puyaye Changri Renubhi. You remember Krishna said to Uddhava, these verses in the Bhagavadam. It is referring to this person. Who is in the Satya Jnanam? Who is in that qualification spoken in the Bhakti Yogam chapter, Advaita Sarvabhudanam, such people, Krishna is saying there that that he will go with them all the time, right? And similarly, what else he said? All other devadas in this world, they will do everything what he wants, what he needs. That means they take care of him. He has also become one like them. A power, right? And apparently this is the reason why Ramachandra, when he wanted to build that bridge, Sedu Bandhanam, right? Sri Shuka Brahmarshi says this, right? All the help what he wanted came automatically at that point for him to do that, to build a bridge, right? And if you look in the ninth canto, you will see this mentioned. Not directly mentioned like that, but you can see the way it has been spoken. Ninth canto, when Ramachandra's story is spoken, in the 11th chapter, verse 20. Nedam yasho rekhupate 9, 11, 20. Nedam yasho rekhupate surayajnayatal leelatano adhyasamya vimukta dhamnaha rakshovado jaladi bandhanam astrapogai kim tasya shatru hanane kapaya sahaya. Where did all the monkeys come to help? How did they come? Because of this. For Ramachandra, all the monkeys came to help. Of course, Ramachandra is playing his role Don't look at it as an incarnation, God, God, God. Don't look at that way. Look at what Shukha Brahmarshi is saying about him. He says that it is an impossible thing to build a bridge like that through the sea. But it was done. Why? Because all the Prakriti Shakti, powers in the nature, has come forward to help him. Varuna came. And the monkeys came. Kapaya Sahaya. They all came to do what was necessary. And with a lot of enthusiasm, they did everything for him. And that is, like, the Prakriti Shakti will do everything what is necessary for a person in that state. So, the monkeys built the bridge for him, in other words, right? So, this is this state of consciousness, Ananya Preeti, right? Sarvabhudeshu yenegam bhavam anyoyam ikshade. And this is in all jnanis, great jnanis, this comes, right? They see themselves present in others. That's how they look at others. They don't see the name and form, but they only are conscious of their presence in others. Same Shukha Brahmarshi, sarvabhuta hridayam munimana dosmi. He is conscious of others, everything what's happening in others, right? So, this state, seeing others, his presence in others and others' presence in him, and nothing separates them. There is no gap between them and others. There is no gap, right? And in that existence, nishta, alpa nishta, or you are established in that state of awareness, that is jivan mukti. That is jivan mukti. If you are established in that state, it is jivan mukti, right? And that person in that state is Bhagavatam calls it as Bhagavadottama. Savai Bhagavadottama is referring to that person who is in that state, right? So, in whom this realization is continuous, not leaving him, and fully established in that state, right? And by no circumstance, by no reason, it goes away from him. And such a person is Bhagavadottama. Bhagavadottama, right? For example, body, mind, senses, right? They all have problems, it's not. Body has got a problem, hunger and thirst. It demands, at the time if he doesn't get it, it causes problem, right? Similarly, body has got problem, different kind of pains, what you get, diseases, what it comes, all these things. When they all come, what it does is, our realization gets shaken. We know that. Theoretically, when your body is healthy and mind is healthy, you have understood something, right? And you think that you got it. But the testing ground is when you get sick or when pain comes in the body, all this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, gone. Is it not? It's our experience, personal experience. Everybody knows that. Yeah. So this is the problem, right? You may have knowledge, you may have heard everything, read everything, you have understood everything. Even though it has not become your, it has not become vijnanam, forget about it. Even it has not become jnanam. It is in that stage, right? You are hearing, you are thinking about it and accepting some things in that way, right? But if something like this happens, pain, severe pain, some disease all comes, our knowledge will go straight away. It will go, right? So that is why even if you have heard it in satsangam, and even if you have known that, when things in life creates problem, right? So we will completely get shaken at that time. It will happen. It will happen, right? That means that steadiness what we had is lost straight away.
It is that steadiness more important, to get that steadiness in life, right? So Krishna is saying here also that a person who has become steady, not getting disturbed by that, he is the one who is the one in Sattvagunam, Satya Bhakti. Satya Jnanam creates that. Rajasa Jnanam, Tamasa Jnanam won't create that. Yeah. So that is why, if you look, you know, in second, first 11th canto, when Navayogi spoke, they said exactly the same thing. You can look at that in the second chapter, 11.2, 49 verse. He's saying the same thing, exactly the same thing. How Hari puts it, Deham Indriya Prana Mano Dhyam Yo. Yeah, body, prana, mind, intelligence, all these things. Janmapa yachul bhaya tarsha kracharehi. The problems what the body has got. Yeah. Janmapa yachul bhaya tarsha kracharehi. Fear and problems related to the body. All the other problems related to the body, right? And the fear that comes from that. Dehendriya prana manodhiyamyo. Janmapa yachur bhayam, the fear, tarsha krachrehi, yeah? Samsara dharmai avimuhyamana smritya harir bhagavada pradhana. He is saying there that bhayam means that security, fear, what will happen now? As soon as some disease comes in the body and you are disturbed over that, everything gone. All this knowledge, Salsangam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam and all goes away and then totally driven by that, by the bodily conditions, right? So, so then the fear comes along with that. Tarsha means Trishna, desires comes, right? Or desires, right? And problem due to that, right? Patanjali puts the same thing in another way. He says pancha klesham, five problems, he says, sufferings. Avidya, asmita, ragam, dvesham, abhinivesham. That is his category. And he, in the Patanjali Yoga Sutram you will find that. Avidya, asmita, ragam, dvesham, abhinivesham. Right? They are called five klesham, sufferings. Right? You will get disturbed by any of these things. Any of these five. You can get disturbed. You can get disturbed in the way Hari Maharshi has spoken here. Dehendriya prana manodhiyoya. That way you can get disturbed. Right? So, this is what samsara means. Samsara dharma it is. So, if you are in samsaram, that means this will be there. This samsara dharma will be there. Right? Now, sarva dharman parityajya means getting free from all these things. That is some sarvadharman paritya. See, the sarvadharman paritya we talk about normally is, every devotee thinks he has become sarvadharman paritya. Is it not? Actual sarvadharman paritya is leaving this samsara dharma. Leaving samsara dharma is the most difficult one. Giving up job is not so difficult. Is it not? Giving a job is not so difficult. But the samsara dharmam, to give it up, is very difficult. Right? Samsara dharmam avimukhyamana, sarvadharman parityaja. Right? So, the thing is that, when this sarvadharman parityaja happens, avimukhyamana, which means that you are not getting deluded by that. Fear comes in, how will I maintain me, myself, how will I maintain the family? All this fear has to leave us, right? But, and similarly, you don't get deluded by the world anymore, right? Just like there is water in the desert, you feel, thing, marumarichika, they call it mirage, isn't it? But nobody runs after that, because you know there is no water there. It appears as though there is water there. Similarly, in this world today, you are seeing so many things going on in this world.
but able to remain unaffected by that and not getting disturbed over it. That is that state what he is talking about, right? How is that possible? That is what he is saying here, that samadhi smriti, alma vismriti, right? What he said that in that verse, he mentioned dehendriya prana, yeah. Samsara mukte avimukhya mana smritya harer bhagavata pradhana. Smritya harer bhagavata pradhana. That's what he is talking about here, right? Samsara dharmair avimukhya mana smritya harer bhagavata pradhana, right? So you can see now that when you read Bhagavad Gita, certain verses were given importance, like Dehi Nosmin Yatha Dehi. Similarly, Sarva Dharman Peritrijya. These are all very important verses for a devotee in the beginning, is it not? And after that, you can start preaching to others if you've got these verses in your head, right? But that is not how Bhagavad Gita is, unfortunately. Bhagavad Gita, as you start understanding the depth of Bhagavad Gita, you are stunned by the knowledge behind it. You are actually stunned by that. So, when you become free from samsara dharmam, that is what Krishna is talking about, the sarva dharmam. Paritya means, you have to reach that state where you have come to this realization that the body is not my identity and this relationship with everyone is a jiva here is actually not different from Krishna's presence in them is equally important, right? And at that time, that relationship with Krishna, at that stage, when you surrender to Him, Krishna says, then you don't have to worry about anything. Aham tvam sarva bhebhyo. It's not that I've joined an institution or I have understood, memorized some verses. Krishna has accepted me as devotee and He will give me protection. No. Krishna is not saying that. What Krishna is saying in that verse is, sarva dharman paritya. It's a very, very deeply thoughtful verse it is. Creates so much thoughts inside. What that sarva dharman paritya means, right? It's a state of consciousness of a person who has got so closer to Krishna in every other way. And then at that moment there is bhakti in the heart. Because the devotee realizes only Krishna exists here, nothing else. At that stage there is a relationship with Krishna. That bhakti, mamekam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo, for him there is no more sinful reactions. And it is guaranteed that he will be liberated once he leaves this body. That is how that verse to be understood. He has to be liberated after leaving this body. But it takes a long time to come to this realize understanding. Because for a long time we are not taking Bhagavad Gita seriously, Bhagavatam seriously. You are just doing your duty, busy with home life, busy with working life or you know, whatever service you are doing in the temple, that is keeping you going. You think, I have done what I can and leave it like that. Understanding has not come. Proper understanding has not come. But when understanding comes, you start realizing it is not that simple as I thought what it is. This awareness will come from that. Yeah. So, and you will see this spoken in different ways in the Bhagavad Gita, in different places, in different ways. So that person in that state, he lives in this world. When he conducts his vyavaharam also is different. Even while performing vyavaharam, this knowledge is so deep inside. Depth is so deep inside, right? And because of his close connection with the soul, he is in the state of consciousness
that he is in touch with the soul all the time, Antaryami. Therefore, and that is how he conducts this vyavaharam in this world. Totally connected with Antaryami. Connected with Antaryami. Vyavaharam will go on, Antaryami will do the vyavaharam, and he is fully conscious that Antaryami is making decisions, and whatever that comes from that. You can't look at it from our material point of view, whether it is a success or not. But spiritually he is successful, because he has learned how to, the nishtha has come, steadiness has come in him. Right? Yeah. So, at that time, the happiness and distress of this world, and similarly our prarabdham and all that, will come and go through him. He has become more or less unaffected by the prarabdham also. Prarabdham will be there. Prarabdham won't go. But he is not affected by that. Because of his state of consciousness. Right? So, and when Krishna says Bhagavadottama, he is referring to this person. That is his identity. To understand. Right? We are all sitting here, we have all got bhakti. Many people, we all think like that. You say, oh, I got bhakti. We think like that, right? But when you hear all these things, even that little bhakti what you had, that also goes. Because you start thinking, what have I got then? I haven't got anything to say to anybody. That, where is bhakti? There is no bhakti, to tell you the truth. It is like that. Bhopar bhakti is a very high state. Simply getting initiated and thinking that I have got bhakti, that is just a lack of understanding, proper understanding. Right? So, so therefore, Melpathur says that then whether one has got bhakti or not is not to be decided by us. Some mahalpas have to say to us that you have got bhakti. Then you can say that you have got bhakti. If they say that, after they have seen us, what we are like. So, that is in the Narayaniyam, Madriha Guna Saktai, Teshu Bandho Saktai, that verse, right? So bhakti is understood. And you can see at one stage, Krishna said to Uddhava, Uddhava, you have got bhakti. Tum tu Bhagavade Shwaham, he says. So, and also Uddhava responded accordingly. Uddhava says to Krishna, you are saying a lot of things in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. I don't think I will understand everything what you say. But I will understand to that extent how much you want me to understand. That is bhakti. That is a proper bhakti. Right? Uddhava is saying to Krishna that you have spoken a lot of things to me. And I don't think I have understood everything what you said. Here and there something I have understood. But this is the position of everybody in this world. That's what I am saying. Don't evaluate Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam through your intelligence, mind and brain. It's way beyond that. If Uddhava is saying this after 115 years with Krishna, he is saying to Krishna, what you have taught me, I have not understood. I cannot grasp it still. But I will understand as much as you want me to understand. So that means understanding anything or becoming your own is only when he wants that you to understand. And therefore, all we can do in our present state is to sharanagati and also to follow the process and hear. And when he wants us to understand, he will give us the understanding. That is a proper shravanam process, what we discussed yesterday. Remember? Kasmayena vipasitohaya madulo jnana pradiva pura. That is why that verse is in the Bhagavatam at the very end. To make us understand how Shravanam happens. Shravanam is not just I heard the lecture, oh it was very nice, and with my mind and intelligence I accepted something. Something I said, no, he does not understand, I rejected. That is not Shravanam. Shravanam means to come to this level of understanding that Krishna is speaking, Krishna is listening. And this relationship, bringing it back to that, from rather than a speaker-listener in the ordinary way, That is why it is specifically spoken. Krishna spoke, Krishna heard in Brahma's heart. Krishna spoke in Brahma's heart, Krishna heard in Narada Maharshi's heart. Krishna spoke in Narada Maharshi's heart, Krishna heard in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart. Krishna spoke from Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart, and Shukha Brahmarshi, Krishna heard from Shukha Brahmarshi's heart. Krishna spoke from Shukha Brahmarshi's heart, but Krishna heard from Parikshit's heart. That is how that transmission happens. Bhagavatam transmission. And the same thing with Bhagavad Gita also. So that's why it may, people, even this thing doesn't get in easily. Even this understanding doesn't come easily. You ask many devotees what they have understood about all this. They won't be able to say this. Because it's not being given in that way to them. That they are not seeing the depth of the problem what we have got. They see all these lectures in the internet and YouTube and all that. Sometimes some great personalities do speak, but the listeners, because this understanding is not there, they will listen some lecture in the YouTube or internet, and then they will make some judgment on that, and that's it. That's what you like this. He says, I've heard him speaking. I don't think he has much to say. He doesn't understand. They will say like that. And how long can I have to keep hearing this? All kind of things comes from their mind. So this is all tamogunam it is. Satya jnanam is not like that. That's what Krishna is stressing the point. Satya jnanam means you can go deeper into things and see the subtle sides of it. That is satyam, right? So living entity, seeing in all, everywhere, Bhagavat Tattvam, at that time, once you have started seeing like that, the whole world will respond to us as Krishna is responding to us. There is no friends, there is no enemy. The realization is presence of one Chaitanyam in everyone, right? So that secret is that the whole world will respond to us in that way. And we see Krishna in everything. Krishna or Chaitanyam present in everything. And the world responds to us in the same way. Right? So, we'll stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.